B-Pod Studios.
It is, at least for us, very exciting to bring this woman on from Family Storylines, the hardworking Natasha Crane. Natasha, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. And
what a nightmare dealing with all the Polish records, huh?
It can be sometimes. It can be.
Well, I mean, between the Nazis and the commies, because the Poles just rolled over for both of them.
Let's, and I think mine required, and you finished Haney's research fairly quickly, didn't you?
Right. We actually had finished the research back in May, and his family, for all of the generations that we were looking at, were all in the United States. And so records are a little bit more readily available. But on your side,
yeah,
we had a lot of films to order and for Polish research, and sometimes they're hard to get a hold of. But
you realize just when you say Polish research, people start laughing?
Yeah. Did you know they couldn't keep records?
But at least there were records for your particular family. Sometimes there aren't, so that's a good sign as it is.
You actually had to contact genealogists and researchers over in Europe and in Poland to go and even find these things. And then when you finally find the town, you've got to realize a lot of wars over there and a lot of things disappear and record keeping not as good as, say, it would be over here.
Exactly. A lot of times, especially in Eastern Europe, it's difficult to locate records, and so we've done a lot of research for people who have, especially gone to like the Ellis Island site, for example, tried to find passenger lists. It can be very, very difficult, and so then they'll come to us, and we can kind of track down those records, and sometimes it is a bad end, and you say, you know, they were all destroyed during wars and whatnot, but more often than not, we actually can find information, so a lot of people are pleasantly surprised.
The coolest thing about this is when you were finding the information, and both Haney and I said it at the same time, you know, you're pulling up like World War One documents and you're actually seeing your grandfather or your great-grandfather's own handwriting,
right,
and where he had to actually verify and put his name and address and how many, and census stuff where, you know, like your father, your grandfather, and the census was being taken and they write it down, well, he was 6 months old at this time, and you know, other siblings that he had weren't even born yet. Amazing stuff. And just seeing the actual documents, really, for a couple of things, it send chills through you. Like, there's his handwriting.
Right. And people, it's especially neat for people who are still alive today who are listed in the census records, and they can see themselves as little kids. And, you know, I took one of these census records from, like, 1930 to my grandfather, and he was looking at it, and it was just so emotional because he could look at the neighbors on each side of him, and he's like, oh, I remember old Mr., you know, Whaley or whatever it is. And, you know, it's really amazing for people to see themselves listed in census records, too.
All right, Natasha, let's start with the research that you found on my partner, Mark Haney. What did we learn about the Haney family?
It was a very interesting family, actually, because they have very, very deep roots in the U.S. You know, if you count yourself as the first generation, we got all the way back six generations. And when you look at that, that goes back to the late 1700s, and that ancestor was born in 1782 in North Carolina, and the family came down to Florida actually right after Florida became a state. So they were
right
very
after.
Early settlers.
Wow.
Getting down there in 1850, and Florida didn't become a state until 1845. So they were down there very early, and they already had a lot of money. So it would be interesting to see your research continue back in time to kind of figure out how they, you know, got into that position the first
place. Because they did have, did you inherit any of that?
No.
Yeah, did it trickle down 150 years later?
Yeah.
No.
But
unfortunately,
a lot of interesting stuff, because with his, I mean, he being the South and running farms and all, his family, his heritage owned slaves, and you can actually see how many they owned, and then the next generation that there were still some slaves. Incredible stuff.
Exactly. And actually, in 1860, when you can see a list of the slaves, they owned eight slaves in the family. And there's a statistic that almost half of the population in Florida was made up of African-American slaves at that time. So slavery was a very common part of the daily life. And, you know, that was definitely a big part of the area in which your ancestors lived.
But I think the biggest thing, or the most top of mind with this, because when you get this done, it's pages and pages, and the first thing you do is just kind of scroll through everything.
Right.
And what jumps out at you is family names. And going back to the 1700s and seeing names that you recognize that have been passed down and going, wow. Well, I knew that was, you know, that was my aunt, that was my uncle, that was my cousin or whatever. But seeing these names attributed to other people that lived so long ago and seeing how it's continued.
Yeah, that it is very interesting. And I've seen cases where, you know, you go eight generations back and it's still the same names in the family. And it's always very fascinating to see that.
And the thing that, and I was having a discussion with my mom about going and tracing my roots, and we got into just a general discussion that, you know what, you leave two generations, three generations later of how many family members you have no idea existed. And these people, your family, totally forgotten. And you say to yourself, boy, in three generations, is anybody going to know?
It won't take that long.
Yeah, they won't take even that long. Well, that will know that I was here. And doing this stuff, you really
it
find out that these
that your
people great, existed.
Great, great grandfather did a marginally successful local radio program.
Yeah, marginally successful. Let's tackle mine, because mine was a whole different ball game for you. And one of the stumbling blocks that I had, and I let you know about it, and you found out even more along this line, was coming over through Ellis Island with my family, the misspellings. Another amazing thing was my grandfather who came over here, the different birth dates that he gave or that were written down for him. There were like three or four different birth dates spanning a couple of years. We didn't know who the hell he was.
Right, and that can make it very difficult. A lot of European immigrants at the time didn't actually know their birth dates. So they weren't trying to intentionally mislead anyone, but it makes it very difficult because once you start looking at all these records and, you know, you find one and it's like, aha, we found the birth date. And then you go and find another record and it's like, wow, that's like 5 years later in a totally different month.
Yeah.
So we found like, you know, four or five different birth dates spanning about 6 years for your grandfather. And that,
well, this grandfather sounds like a shady character.
Yeah. Here's the genius of the work you did, Natasha, and the whole family's storylines with finding that birth date. You took all the birth dates that he claimed to have given on these documents, went back to Poland, and just took his name and put a little space, you know, from the first years that he said to the oldest years that he said, and you actually were able to find him and find out what his actual birth date was. Just kind of through process of elimination and going through parish churches, and you found it.
Exactly, and sort of the key piece of information to even get back there is the town of origin, and that's something that a lot of people don't know. You know, we were just talking about how information gets lost just three generations later. You know, one of the things that you didn't know was exactly where in Poland they came from.
Had no idea.
And so that was, you know, after doing a lot more research in the U.S. records, we found that they came from this little town of Przeszowa, which had 760 people at the time. And then you go back there, and exactly like you said, we went through all these records. We found 351 records for the family, and ultimately looked down at the different birth dates that were possibilities, and then we were able to identify, okay, this person had to be the one.
And you had said to me that with my last name, and I've said it on the air before, it's Nawalonic, pronounced different ways, evidently spelled different ways. You said that was a very rare last name.
It was, actually. If you look at the Polish census in 2004, there were 38.5 million people in Poland. There were 431 with that name.
That's
remarkable. And they almost all came from three little areas within Poland, and one of them was the area that we found your family in.
Also, I found interesting, and this probably hurts with records as well, you had a couple of world wars go through there, and you were saying long...
Couple.
Yeah, couple. After my family had moved here to the United States... World War II over there, that the town that they were from was actually turned into one of the Jewish ghettos, and the Nazis came through there.
Oh, definitely. And it's fortunate that some records were microfilmed before they were destroyed, so sometimes there were extra copies in different places. And so when some people say, oh, I can't trace my family history, all the records were destroyed in my area, a lot of times there are actually copies of those records that exist somewhere else. And so, you know, sometimes there are other possibilities, but the wars did devastate a lot of those records in Eastern Europe.
You never, through all your research, and I know the answer to this already, you never found any, like, dukes or kings or queens or royalty or anything Disneyland there, did you? We were like, my family, just hard workers.
Well, not yet. I think maybe if you kept going, you never know what you can find. And there are other lines, you know, we sort of focused on the main paternal line
with
the same surname. But, you know, you can go in different directions and people might be from different towns. But it was interesting because your family, even in this little town of 760 people, you know, they had been there all the way back to 1744.
Wow. So a lot of inbreeding, yet hardy peasant stock.
I didn't want to be the one to say it.
You're right. You know what? And I also want to say this, and this is the amazing stuff, and the way that they document that stuff over in Eastern Europe. You were sending me the list of births and deaths. They listed also the illegitimate children of the Nahualanic name and who was born outside of the marriage but still claimed the name. Amazing stuff.
Right. It's interesting to see that. And they also, one of the unique things of the Polish research is that they provide house numbers, which is sort of like an address in all these records, which you don't get in any other locations. And that helps you to kind of figure out who's who when you have everyone with the same name. You know, there are probably like five first names that are very common in Poland that you see over and over. So that helps distinguish, too.
And part of the thing that you did, and which was pretty cool, at least on my part, and this information is readily available, but again, you have to sort through it and make sure you have the right person. You actually found the Ellis Island records for my grandfather, for my grandmother, who came at a separate time. Family members came at so many different times. They didn't come together as a family unit. They came in chunks, a brother and sister, a mother and her kids, but the father stays behind. And all of that is available and thank God, saved.
Exactly. It's the immigration patterns are always interesting to see. A lot of times when people did marry over there, you know, they would send one person first to kind of go and get established, and then they'd send more people, and they kind of had this chain migration going. So that is really common to see, but it's fascinating to see those records. It's just they can be very hard to find, especially if you have Eastern European roots, because the names were so foreign to the people who in Ellis Island were recording the information that it can take hours and hours to find someone sometimes because the names are just so butchered.
You had to come into the country and they wanted to know how much money you had in your pocket, where you were going, because, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't everyone coming through Ellis Island at least have to have some kind of sponsor in this country or an address that they were going to, right?
They had to indicate exactly where they were going, correct. And so that's part of the information that's collected on the passenger list after a certain date is what is your destination, who are you going to stay with, and who is the nearest relative in the location from which you came. And all of that can be really helpful in the research, too, obviously.
Natasha Crane, she's with Family Storylines. Thank you so much for the hard work.
You're very welcome, and thank you guys both very much for allowing us to do it for you.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon if you want to dig deeper.
All right, sounds great.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been.
shoulder's so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon.
People ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get into his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. So it begins. I think that's how I'm going to start every show. And so it begins.
And you know what? Initially, I was in a much, much better mood today.
Yeah. Oh, and you got your stuff that you've been waiting for from Amazon. It ain't helping you today. And so it begins.
I'm telling you, I have been out of sorts for well over a week. Mm-hmm. And today I thought, you know what? You're starting to come around, and there's no point in it.
No. A lot of stuff behind the scenes, and you shouldn't be bothered by it, and I'm not going to bother you.
If there's one thing that Haney can't stand, it's a meeting.
Yeah.
And it's a... I can't get into...
No, you shouldn't say
it. I shouldn't say anything, because the person that wants this meeting, the only one that wants this meeting, is...
Well, and you know why.
Because we opened our mouths about it yesterday.
No, I didn't. You did. It was your fault.
You opened. You're the one that said it.
No, I just agreed with you.
Fine. Like, I'm not getting back. I'm not being pulled down this hole again.
You are the one.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You've been getting exactly what you want lately.
What are you? What, in life or here?
In life. And I have supported you.
Yes, you have.
And I'm not even asking for anything. I'm just asking for equilibrium. Just leave me out of it.
I understand this, but leave me out of it. You got to be in a meeting, Ron. A meeting that nobody wants except one. I'm not talking about it. That's behind the scenes. I'm going to talk about stuff in front of the scenes.
And if he really wanted that meeting, it should be one-on-one. Because I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Stop it now. Look.
You know what I'm being sincere.
I know what you're going to say.
It should be private. Because nobody else needs to hear those things.
Private? How about I tell him that? How about he tells you, okay, we're going to have a private meeting with you, Haney, at 9.
P.M.?
A.M.
No, that won't work.
10 a.m.
Nope.
Then they have to do it this way.
No, it shouldn't be in front of other people. I don't want to be held responsible for that. Because I'm going to be asked questions and forced to answer them. No, and the answers are going to make people uncomfortable, and that's not my intention.
You're not going to be asked questions at that meeting.
I'm not.
No, you're not. You're probably,
so it's a fake meeting.
No, you're probably not going to be given one question at that meeting. You're going to be told what to do. And that's it. Case closed.
Then I don't need to be there.
Yeah, well, you do.
No, I don't.
The man himself requested you. And
I don't see the need for me.
Well, he needs you.
Just so he can yell at me.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different then. Yes. Why didn't you just say so?
What are you talking about?
I thought it was supposed to be a productive meeting.
None of us have any power. Rob's going to be there. You're going to be there. Matt's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Oh, you don't know about that? Oh, you don't know?
That's news to Rob,
surprise.
Too.
No, it was a surprise to me.
Yeah. Check your email.
I did. I don't have anything.
Yeah, there should be a thing.
You know what?
There it is. You see it now?
You better be careful, Rob. You know, you're getting used to coasting on them 13-hour days.
Yeah, you got to be somewhere at a certain time. You
see that? Yes,
you know what? You're the son of a bitch had to open his mouth about a living wage.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of a living wage. You need to talk to your boy.
My boy?
Yeah, he's your boy, Dave. He's here.
He was supposed to be here yesterday.
No.
Swore to me he would be here yesterday, and I didn't see him.
I can talk about this because he's not in the room. Because he's at the break-in.
Is he in a meeting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, he is. And again, I got to... Make sure that's not him texting me. No. That'll be on the QT.
What's he
about
done?
Horrible thing.
Oh, no.
Wait, just...
He was such a good boy last
just
week.
Just hold on.
We're crying out loud.
So the company, follow me real quick, and then I'm going to tell Haney on off-air time, go talk to the boy. Although I
didn't even know he was here.
Although I don't, because I had to kick him out of the office because he might be contagious. Nope. It started with Morgan, his boss.
What did he do there?
Why is the hotline ringing? Who is that? Who is it?
I believe it's Dave. He said, tell that son of a bitch to put me on the phone.
Wait a second. He's not...
You sure that's not Brad?
Yeah, that could be Brad. Oh, that's happened before. Hold on. Yes?
You son of a bitch!
I can't. I'm not gonna. Here, I gotta tell
What's
you. What's
the issue?
I'm gonna tell you. This way I can talk to you without him going nutso.
Well, he is already going nutso.
I know. So Morgan comes to me in the office and she says, can you help
so
me?
So is he here or is he not here? Because he just called.
I don't know. And if he's not here, he's in trouble. Follow me. And I gotta say this in less than 2 minutes.
Jesus, help me.
I know. It's been one of those days. So Morgan comes in because Morgan will come to me because she thinks I have some way of getting to Dave. And in fact, I do. He'll answer my texts and Rob's texts.
That's only good to the end of the month.
Oh, yeah, because that's what he's got it paid for through.
Yeah. It may even be 2 weeks. I'm not sure.
So she comes to me and she said, I have an issue with Dave. And I'm like, oh, brother. I said, let me guess, he's not coming in today. And she said, yup, he called me, he's sick, he's not coming in, and he might not be in tomorrow. This is just earlier today. I said, what? I says, I'll get in touch with him. She said, gave him the week off last week so he could go to your wedding, so he didn't work at all last week.
Oh, he worked last week.
I mean, for you.
Yeah.
Not for the station. That's what
he
I'm talking about.
He worked very hard last week.
But he said he didn't work last week. We gave it to him off because he asked for it long before he knew he was going. Gave him the week off, and she asked him, come in Monday so you can prep the vans. That's his job. That's his real job, prep the vans. He said...
Well, that's his lone source of
he
income.
He said, I can't do that. I'm on with Stan and Haney today. Okay, well, then you need to come in on Tuesday and prep the vans.
And he told me, as we parted company Monday, that he would definitely be in Tuesday to do the vans.
So.
And he didn't show.
And he didn't show. And he didn't show today. And
wait a second. I thought you said he was here
hold
today.
Hold on. So I texted him. I said, I don't care if you've got the sniffles, whatever. I said, you have a responsibility here to get these vans ready for the remotes of all the radio stations this weekend. There he calls again. And I shamed him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's called responsibility, Dave. And finally he called Morgan back and said that he was going to come down. Now, Morgan...
So he changed his mind.
Yes, he apparently took the bus down here.
What?
I got to take a break and I'll tell you the rest of it.
He took the bus?
Yes, and he was... I'll just leave it at this. He was coming down via bus to quit. We'll be back.
Oh,
standing.
Fuck.
96 K-Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney show. That means about an hour from now, we will play Are You Smarter Than Haney? The lovely Karen will join us, and we'll get a random Stan and Haney listener to go head-to-head with Mark Haney, and if you are successful, you could win a nice prize. Also, Dave the Waterman was on hold. I guess he was riding the bus back, and Rob, he just hung up on you?
He called back towards the end of the last segment. Then when I went to pick him up during commercial break, it was a deadline.
Look, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
What I do know is this.
What?
He's out there in the heat with a cold.
Yeah.
Doing his job.
Is he out back?
Yeah. He's taking care of the vans whole time.
Then where's he been?
He had the van out to go put gas in it.
All right, good.
He's fine.
He came down to quit today.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I told you that. I don't want to get any more into it. Okay.
Yes, you do.
I do, but I'm not.
Thank you.
I do, but I'm not.
Thank you.
We'll do the grab bag.
Everybody needs to calm the F down.
I do not know how to handle this, and this guy is texting nonstop. Let me set the stage.
What have we done now?
It shouldn't be our job. It should be the police. The cops.
You know what? We've got a good contact with Fort Myers PD.
I know.
Get Captain Hernandez on the line.
Now, Rob gets a phone call into the studio before we're even on the air.
Yeah?
I think it was right at the crack of 2.
All right.
And some guy, and if this is true... We're not the ones to solve it. If it's false, this is about as bad as it gets. You shouldn't do this. But Rob gets a call from some guy down in Naples who says he'd like to issue an Amber Alert.
I don't think as a citizen that you can single-handedly issue an Amber Alert.
Correct. He wanted to go on the air.
Even us as trusted broadcasters do not have the authority to issue an Amber Alert.
He wanted to go on the air and issue an Amber Alert. Rob said the basics. Did you think about calling the cops?
Because they can.
And he said to
Rob. They'll do it quick.
I know. He said to Rob, the cops know about it.
Okay, problem solved.
Should be case closed.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was adamant. He wants to go on the air. Rob did the correct thing. He said, we need to know what's going on. If you want to text information, we'll gladly read it and determine what we're supposed to do. But the cops have been called, right? Yes, cops have been called. And is this the guy? Is this? Okay. I won't read his texts. I'll put the guy on. And
Sure this is wise?
Well, there's 3 of us here. I have a sixth sense. You do. Rob does. As soon as any one of us raises their hand and says,
okay, so
hang up.
It'll be like the gong show.
Yes. Yes. Do this. Don't do this. Because if I don't address this, he's going to keep calling, and keep texting. So I'm going to give him 30 seconds.
How bad is this?
I don't know. They're looking for a black guy with no shirt and shorts walking around carrying off a baby.
I mean, is that real?
I don't know. Here's the guy. Let's find out who he is. Ahoy.
Ahoy, guys. My name's Scott from Naples.
Yes, Scott. So far, so good.
Okay, it's 100% true. This is my best friend's daughter's baby. The guy took off with the baby from his house.
When?
Because he wants to have custody. This morning around
11:30. Okay, so it's a custody issue. He might be the baby daddy or what?
He's the baby daddy, but not on paper. That's all he is.
All right, have the cops been notified?
Yes, there is. The helicopters are looking for him. They're driving around. I just wanted to put on the air that, like, listeners, if they see a guy walking around without a shirt, with the baby without a shirt, to please just call the cops and give the location. That's all I wanted.
Okay. And where is this?
Santa Barbara and Golden Gate Parkway in Naples.
And when did this start? When did it happen?
Yesterday, he didn't give the baby back, and then he was going to give him back today at the swimming lessons, and he didn't. He decided to stay in the house, and then it got crazy from there. The baby mama came in, and he wouldn't let her out of the house, and then he attacked her. So now he's going to have a assault.
All right, well,
on top of everything else.
He is the baby's...
Yeah, I don't want to get into the...
He is the baby's father. Is there any reason to believe the child is in danger?
Except for he has no way to take care of him at all, and he's in the woods with the baby for a few hours now without a shirt on.
So you think he's still in the woods?
Somebody has seen the baby a couple hours ago with no shirt. So you said it happened yesterday. So he's making himself known. If you saw him a few hours ago, or somebody saw him a few hours ago with the baby and no shirt, he's not evidently hiding. If it happened yesterday, he's showing himself.
Oh, no, misunderstood. No, yesterday is the day he took the baby yesterday overnight. He was going to give him back today.
Uh-huh.
And they went there to pick him up, and then he changed his mind and took off and ran into the woods. And he's been in the woods since about 12 o'clock with no shirt on, and the baby's just wearing swim trunks. So he's got no way to take care of him, no vehicle, no way to get the baby water or anything, unless people are keeping their eye out if they see. I've been going to gas stations, and everybody I see walking around looks, just telling everybody I can. We just want the baby back safe.
So is this more towards Golden Gate, where there's a lot of woods, or?
You said it's
details.
You said it's Davis and Santa Barbara.
Yes.
How big are the woods?
Not that big. So we're wondering. We're curious to see if he crossed 75 because there's an apartment complex called Tuscan Isle, and that's where his family lives. So we all keep thinking that. He might be trying to get over to that area.
I would assume that the cops have been notified of that as well.
Yes. Okay. They're set up over there, and they're set up over here by his apartment.
All right, so all you're asking is if somebody sees something to call the police.
Just be vigilant.
Please, that's all I want.
Okay, that's reasonable.
All right,
you guys.
There you go, buddy.
Reasonable.
Thank you, Rob. He's got an aerial map showing a lot of woods.
Well, that depends, because I see he's got a stick pin there.
Yeah. Is that us?
No, that's the Tuscan Isle apartments that they were talking about.
I hope he didn't cross 75 on foot.
I don't know,
It's a big world with a lot of problems, Dan.
Yeah, it sure is. We're just a little corner of that world with our own problems. Just trying to do a job 4 hours a day.
And don't have a child with someone you're not particularly close to.
Or fond of.
been there.
Yep. Grab bag. Grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Jeez. I got this all this morning, and it came just flooding back to me. It's September 11th, the 18th anniversary of the attack.
today is the anniversary of that, and I didn't even realize it. I just happened to be looking at my phone, and I was sending a photo to my mom.
Yeah.
And when I opened up the photo gallery, it helpfully said, "Hey, you know what today is?" And it showed me all the pictures I took of hurricane damage. Evidently, yesterday was the anniversary of Irma.
Second anniversary of Irma.
Good Lord.
2 years ago.
And the anniversary today, it is amazing now to think that there are legal adults.
There are graduating high school seniors that weren't even born.
Yes. They're 18, and it's not real to them.
It isn't. And
I mean, it's as real to them as Pearl Harbor is to us.
We knew it happened. We knew it was a day. It'll live in infamy.
But we weren't there hearing the first broadcast going, "They did what?"
We were there. And
I really fear that being forgotten.
I know. 3 o'clock, I want to talk more about it. We'll open up the phones, too, because I think for our generation, and you know the answer to this readily, and I remember it vividly, you know what you were doing when 9/11 happened. I remember, and I cannot believe it's been 18 years, but this is the way it started.
We have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently, a plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center.
I saw the building start to buckle.
The first World Trade Tower collapsed.
We now see the collapse of the second building.
I was on the phone with Vice President Cheney. He had informed me about the Pentagon being attacked.
Those who make war against the United States have chosen their own destruction.
Here's the thing. Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. That man, for the first 14 anniversaries after 9/11, first 14, beloved. This man could walk down any New York street and be greeted by thousands. He could walk into Yankee Stadium, where he had his seat for years, right next to the dugout, whether it was Torrey, Girardi, and they'd put the camera on him, and the place would give him a standing ovation.
Beloved.
For the past 2.5 years, it's risky for him to go to Yankee Stadium because they boo him because he happens to support Donald Trump. They boo him in New York City.
And elect Bill de Blasio.
Yep. They boo him.
There is really such a concerted effort with big money behind it to bring this country down.
Yep.
I'll give you a very quick example. I try to, just in general preparation for the show, to get news from different sources, even people I don't particularly agree with, which is a lot of them. And I read a story on a website that's owned by NBC. And I understand everybody has their opinions, but it's different when you state things as fact. And it was talking about the president and this alleged spy story, which has already been debunked. But they're writing the story and go, and there was concern that Donald Trump, who was elected with the direct aid of Russian agents. And I went, what? Donald Trump, who was elected with the direct aid of Russian agents. That is stated as fact.
And it's not. It's a complete falsehood. The story that was going on with CNN and MSNBC, the Washington Post and New York Times, of all places, said that Trump giving the breaking the cover of the CIA agent in Russia
complete falsehood, and it was CNN
that
gave the guy's name, where he lived, and they had, and CIA and FBI had to hustle him out for fear that the Russians would kill him.
And the guy that's the quote-unquote reporter for CNN that did that story worked in the Obama administration.
Of course.
Knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, this is some crazy stuff.
I just, you know, but 9/11, and to look at, and as they, every news channel and network is remembering, and how beloved Giuliani was.
How beloved Giuliani was, and you know what else? In the aftermath of 9/11, a lot of comedians were talking about it, the fact that racism in America is over. After this, you know the black guy's okay. It's the guy with the towel on his head you got to look out for. The country was supposed to be united.
And it was.
And what has happened now is mind-boggling. There's no reason for it.
I agree. We'll have more of the grab bag when we come back. We're Stan and Haney.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney.
Sick, man.
On 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. 277-9600. I just started thinking about something. You said that Dave stayed here and that I... said stuff that was inappropriate for the air. I didn't say anything on the air that he told me. I was telling him.
Okay, hey, so...
Because he came up to you and said, Stan was saying stuff that I said...
You were telling him things that were inappropriate.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I don't think once I mentioned anything that he told me.
It's fine. Jeez. Everything's fine.
You know what? This place has got a weird feeling today. This place has got to, you know, you and I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something not right in this building today. There's something not right.
You sure we're doing a show tomorrow?
I don't know that. Oh, you laugh now there, Rob Show. Get ready to put in 19 hours tomorrow. What the hell? Something's, there's a funk.
There's a foul mist settling in.
Let's,
I know what to do.
What?
Just give me a second and we'll be fine, all right?
All right, we're looking, being looked at like farm animals.
There we go. We're fine.
I'm just mad about saffron. Oh, saffron's mad about me.
It's all mellow. Right, Donovan?
I'd like to say a special hello to Jim in New Orleans.
Yeah. He had this down pat. And then this.
Not a word.
I can't. I'm not saying a thing.
All right, you ready for the grab bag?
Yeah, I think, let's continue.
I think that has worked its magic.
I like the song. That's about the only magic it does.
Has it calmed you at all?
Oh, I'm calm. I've always been calm.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm the calmest person in this building.
Well, that's not saying much.
No.
Now that you put the fear of God into Rob.
Yeah.
Going, totally effed my life for this.
You're the one that asked, are we going to be here tomorrow?
Well, I just think it's odd that I have to be at a meeting.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you do. And I'm sorry to break the news to you, too, Rob, but you've got to be there, too.
Yeah, that's not good.
Thank goodness you live locally now.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
You mean locally, like in the van out back?
No, well, that's only in emergencies. He lives right down the street from Dave.
And we're neighbors.
Practically.
He didn't need to take the bus. I would have given
Wait
him a lift.
I know
today.
That.
You lived here long enough to know you don't want to live in Cape Coral, didn't you?
No, not, now I'm learning that.
follow me on this. This you'd ask what the world's coming to. It's coming to this.
And I don't even like asking that question
anymore.
And
you're right. It's Idiocracy. I never thought I'd admit it. You're right.
It's the greatest documentary ever, Idiocracy. It's got electrolytes.
Two men in Palm Coast were arrested. Why were they arrested? Well, they pulled out guns. One of which, thank goodness, was just a BB gun. The other one was real. In a McDonald's drive-thru.
Because they couldn't get a Popeye's chicken sandwich there.
That, and they claimed that their food was cold. Here's the 911 call. And
does anybody complain about food at McDonald's? Yeah. Isn't that kind of an unwritten contract?
They pulled guns! Here's the 911 call and the cop talking about the incident in beautiful Palm Coast.
I have two gentlemen through with guns. They pulled their guns on me, saying that their food was cold and demanded that the food be made.
They paid for 5 hamburgers, and they felt that the hamburgers were not hot enough. So they sent them back, made some comments about, we don't play around with our food.
They didn't point the gun at me, they pulled it out, and quote-unquote said, I do not play about my food.
They're upset about the food being cold?
Right. They're still
right, that explains
the first
it.
Car at the window.
They're going to eat jail food instead. They can always make a complaint, but it probably won't get any warm.
All right, I don't know.
Well, what is that, Stan?
What?
Did they just think that that would be consequence-free? I mean, what did they think was going to happen?
I don't know. Does it give them street cred? I don't know.
Did they think that would get them the hamburgers they wanted?
Wow.
I just don't understand. What outcome are you expecting from that?
It's reactionary brainstem. That's what it is. Unless they got to go get some street cred.
Street cred at McDonald's?
That's what I'm saying.
With a BB gun?
I know.
I'm not supposed to understand.
No. Pulling a prank on the old school teacher. That still works. high school students decided that they were going to prank their teacher by making him think they broke the classroom plasma TV. So he's out of the room. Some kid's got the cell phone in the back of the classroom. A couple of kids walk up with one of the chairs in the classroom and just throw it up against the wall right by the where the plasma TV is.
What'd they do? Put a sticker on it?
Yeah, they did something. Because they said, oh, we broke the TV. The teacher loses it, thinking he's fired for sure.
Hey! Y'all break this up. What's going on?
Hey, I'm Professor Cook.
Did you throw that chair?
Thank you, brother. I really didn't mean to throw the
chair. How do you not mean to throw the chair? That's a plasma TV! A plasma TV! You know how expensive that is? I can't buy it with no pizza sandwich! They're gonna rob me! They're gonna rob me!
Hey, it's a break.
And they let him off the hook. Not broken.
Did he let them off the hook?
I don't know. I didn't see the end of it. All right, let's do a comparison. I want to do a comparison right now on the Stan and Haney Show. A woman doing the ancient Swedish herding call known as cooning, followed by a good old American redneck hollering hoo boy. There you go.
All right.
Both of them, pieces of art. Beautiful.
Yep. Boy, feels like 1860 when you hear that.
Yeah, sure does. 1860. What's your family doing?
You had a good life, Stan. Yep. Good life.
According to what the genealogist said, very wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
Very wealthy family in your gene pool.
And you've got nothing to be ashamed of yourself. Hardy peasant stock.
Yep. Yeah. That's what it is. Do I have the right one here? Yeah, I do. We're telling you about it, but it because we present the whole Green Day Weezer thing.
Yeah.
But they released a big promo about it. See, it's nice to see Rob over there posting for the Stan and Haney show. We got a big meeting. David Hasselhoff has a new song.
Is there social unrest in Germany?
I don't.
Because that's the only place that wants it.
It is a cover version of Open Your Eyes by Lords of the New Church. Television cannot lie. Controlling media with smoke screen eyes. The Hawk. The politicians' pictures show. The acting's lousy, but the blind. Yeah, kick ass.
You know, I think I found something that kind of sums up the mood for today.
What's that?
Oh, that's no good. That terrible quality. Nothing works.
I was told you need to bring in your laptop.
So I need to further fund the show.
Correct. There was an
that you were told that by someone truly looking out for our best interests. The best thing you can do is supply your own equipment, and you might have a chance.
Yes. See, why am I going to get myself?
Don't
in trouble?
Even bother.
I can't. You see, they're more concerned about virus protection than on-air. Never mind.
Well, I guess we're not in the radio business anymore.
No.
And I'd really taken that to heart.
Yep. Well, you better start. There was an incident.
No, I mean, I'd taken it to heart when I was admonished years ago that we are in the radio business, not the computer business.
Yep.
And I said, okay, F computers. And I'm concentrated on radio. And now they're going, we're not in the radio business, we're in the computer business.
Yep. That'll all be explained to you tomorrow.
Will there be a Q&A?
No.
Is there any chance that just for the meeting, I understand they'll never hire him again, but could we just bring in AB just to sit in on the meeting in case he has any questions?
Yeah, you want the meeting to go for 3 hours?
Yeah.
There was.
You remember that we'd be in meetings?
I do.
And you'd know before it started. And I imagine it's that way with any meeting at any business.
Well, there's somebody in every office.
And you and I would look at each other as soon as they were done and go, okay.
All right, we done here.
Any questions? I think we covered it pretty well, but any questions? And there you go.
Yep. Question after question after question.
And questions about things that were covered in detail.
Can't get that part of your life back.
And every time you'd think he was done, you know, you'd start to bend your knees to get up, and then back down you'd go.
He got one more. Incident with the Dallas Cowboys and a kid.
Oh, what's the incident with Antonio Brown?
The rape allegation.
What the hell is it with this guy?
I guess three accusations.
Good Lord.
Started out with one. Now they're up to three.
Boy, Pittsburgh knew something, didn't they? And what'd they get, a 3 and a 5 for him? Good job, Pittsburgh.
This has to deal with a kid and the Dallas Cowboys. One player in particular, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. I can understand if an adult wants an autograph from somebody and the athlete tells him, get lost. But DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys rejected a young kid who asked for his autograph. The kid was decked out in New York Giants gear, including a Saquon Barkley jersey.
Is that Saquon or Saquon?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you were a Giants
fan. Saquon. DeMarcus walks right past the kid and says, quote, get the right jersey, son. Here's when it happened. And then we have a statement from DeMarcus. But here's what happened. Little kid, what's he look like? Maybe 8 years old? Here you go.
Get the right jersey, son.
Kept walking. You know, when they were getting off the team bus, they're getting ready to go into the locker room. So reporters asked DeMarcus Lawrence about the incident of shunning an 8-year-old because he had a Giants jersey on, and he's not sorry one bit.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, a person telling you no. He's going to hear a lot of that in life, so y'all just get used to it. I know my kids hear it every day, so it'll be okay. I mean, I sign hundreds of autographs, but I can sign autographs when I want to. That's my choice. The kid will be okay, trust me. I know. You know, if not, then I'll write a public apology to him for hurting his feelings. Other than that, like, hopefully he get a DeMarcus Lawrence jersey for Christmas.
Why don't you get him a signed DeMarcus Lawrence
jersey? Didn't Mean Joe Green do that for a kid in a Coca-Cola bottle?
Yep. No, I thought he just gave him his Coke.
The kid gave him the Mean Joe the Coke, and then Mean Joe gave him the jersey.
I thought he threw the Coke back at him.
No, he didn't.
He said, get the right jersey, son.
No, he said, here, kid, catch. Thanks, Mean Joe.
You know, he always hated that name.
Mean Joe Green? I know he did.
Because Joe Green's a nice guy.
Yep. That is the classic Coca-Cola commercial. Yep. I remember that
Coke smell there.
Nope. That was just B.O. and classic Coke.
You could smell that commercial.
You sure could, because he was coming off the field going down the tunnel in just agony. And the kid saw him. Mean Joe was so thirsty. And the kid said, would you like my Coke? No, go on. You can have it. No, that's all right, kid. No, you can't here. And then Mean Joe in the commercial, I think, chugs the whole bottle, and that was glass bottle in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Whole bottle of Coca-Cola, I think, in two swigs. And then the kid goes all slumped shouldered away, walks over, see you around, Mean Joe. And hey, kid, catch. Take it. Watch that commercial, DeMarcus. Sorry.
By the way, did you see how the president commemorated the anniversary of 9/11?
I saw his speech. Oh, there.
I'm not talking about the speech.
What?
I'm talking about the 40 tons of bombs dropped on Iraq after midnight.
They called it another shock and awe.
It was a
Northern
thing.
Northern Iraq.
Have you seen it?
I have.
It's a thing of beauty.
It was like Christmas.
Yep.
See, glass bottle.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Me here, you can have it. No. You know what? Start that from the beginning. I want to hear that because it brings back a lot of memories. Here we go. Roll them.
Please, give them out.
Here you go, DeMarcus.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
Watch, two swigs.
See, it fixes everything. It's back when it had cocaine in it.
Yeah. Not that part.
Hey, kid.
Catch. What? Hey. Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Thanks, Mean Joe. See, you know what? That was a nicer world then, too.
It was. And, you know,
DeMarcus.
Coca-Cola is a great American thing. And, you know, the fact that a courageous chemist came up with that is a friendly way to get off the opium.
Yep. Smarter than Haney when we come back. 96K Rock.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to remain employed on partially reduced wages and benefits. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Karen coming down the hallway?
Karen is not here today.
Oh.
Morgan is happy to fill in, though. I asked her. She's on her way.
Good deal. Good. That's all right. Good heads up on that one, Rob. Morgan going to be filling in for Karen today. Our friend Morgan, Dave's boss.
All right.
Xfinity. You know, no. Here's something that Xfinity offers you, and you may not even realize it. They're offering it to you. Your mics are open. Your cameras are open. You're thinking, oh, everybody's going to go. There's no need. Xfinity XFi, not only do you get fast, reliable in-home Wi-Fi, but you can also get enhanced network security, safer browsing. It's almost like Xfinity's doing their best to protect you.
And in today's world, it is more and more and more important.
Because they all got cameras, and with your other devices, you can now leave your laptop open, do your goofy dance, and do all your crazy stuff. Create. You think, is anybody watching? You don't need to worry about it with Xfinity.
Like when you walk around nude going, da-da, da-da,
yep,
da-da,
yep. Da-da. Just remember one thing. If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi.
Oh, I like that. If it's connected.
It's protected. Go to Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY or better yet, visit an Xfinity store today to learn more. The lovely Morgan. Coming in, filling in again. Second time in a month, Morgan's come in and is filling in for Karen for Are You Smarter Than Haney?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well. And you, if you don't remember last time, A, she's Dave's boss and she's a college graduate.
And she's pretty.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Pretty and smart.
Have you talked to your employee today?
I gave him a little swift kick in the butt because he's called out twice this week.
Mm-hmm.
So a little motivational pep talk?
Yes. And you know what's funny is he was here on Monday and was incapable of doing the job on Monday.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Well,
he told me that.
If you would have done it on Monday, you could have had the rest of the week off. But instead, you didn't. You know,
so how do you motivate a problem employee?
How do you do that?
Every employee needs to be treated differently. Waterman needs a little extra babysitting.
Yep.
A little extra threatening.
Yeah, he's very sensitive too.
He is.
But once you get through to him, he does a great job.
You need to put the fear of God in his eyes.
But then he does a good job.
And then he showed up today.
Yep.
I said, you know what? This isn't happening again.
And what did he say to you?
He showed up. Did he say
the old "I'm sorry"?
I'm sorry, bro.
Is that what he said?
He calls you bro too. That's all he's allowed to call me.
We've got
and let's review again because I forgot. What are your strong subjects again?
I studied art history in college.
Uh huh.
I'm not an entertainment person. I don't watch movies. So that's don't good. Quiz me on that.
So, but we got sports and leisure, science and nature.
I like to think I'm sporty. I'm
arts,
scientific.
Arts and literature.
Jeopardy's my favorite TV show.
History. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I know. I'm brilliant.
And, of course, geography, entertainment. We're going to get a random Stan and Haney listener who cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. Six categories. If you get all six before Haney does, you're going to be a winner. You're going to get a nice prize. It can either be Disturbed tickets for September 19th at Hertz Arena, or you can get qualified for the Exit 111 concert. Just by qualifying, you get a Guns N' Roses CD, and then you're in the running for the trip to the Exit 111 Music Festival, October 11th through the 13th.
And we
in
have,
Manchester, New Hampshire.
And we know for a fact we've got stick pins nearby.
Yep. And Morgan is your lifeline for one category. You have to say, I'd like to use my lifeline. Morgan will answer one question for you before I ask the question. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see. Can try it. Stan's got prizes. Yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy. It's hard work.
Dave.
Stan's trick questions. What a f***ing jerk. All those prizes. Yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant. Stan's the host.
I'm 11 concert in Tennessee. By getting a Guns N' Roses CD. Ahoy, who's this? No, see, that's one where it first person to get through, but they don't respond. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Chris from Port Charlotte.
Hey, Chris from Port Charlotte. Have you won anything from us in the last 60 days?
No, I have not.
Would you like to challenge Haney?
Sure.
All right, say hi to Morgan. She's your lifeline for one category.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Morgan.
All right, the categories. And by the way, if your opponent cannot get the category and you have the category open, you can steal. First person to six or time permitting. You have a question?
Stan got a new book.
Oh, no, this is the one I've been using for probably about a month.
It's different than the last time I played.
You never know with him.
Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. We begin, as always, with Mark Haney. Mark, pick a category.
I caught him with a counterfeit book once that had bad answers.
Cheater.
There was a counterfeit book, and it had wrong answers. So I got rid of it and got the definitive book.
So you can trust this one.
Yep.
I'll take potent potables for
That's
100.
That's not a category. Geography?
Yes.
All right. As always. Haney, in geography, which country boasts the highest and the lowest points in South America? What country? Highest and lowest points in all of South America. It's in one country.
Brazil?
Incorrect. You can steal, Chris.
Argentina?
You are absolutely right. It's Argentina. Did you know that, Morgan?
Yeah, I did.
I just guessed Brazil because it's the biggest.
Yeah, but
no,
it's Argentina.
Argentina.
Chris, you got control of the board. Morgan's your lifeline. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's do science.
Science! All right. I think he's the first person that has ever picked science and nature first. Science and nature. What sign of the zodiac is represented by a bull? By a bull. What sign of the zodiac is represented by a bull?
I don't know, Leo.
That's
incorrect. Haney, you can steal in science and nature.
Taurus.
Yes, Taurus the bull.
Gosh, I've known both of these. You guys should have called me.
Don't worry, plenty of categories to go. Haney, you have control. Geography?
Geography.
All right, geography for Mark Haney. Oh. Okay. Haney, what heavy wood is Burma's main timber export? What heavy wood is Burma's main timber export?
Jeez. Rosewood?
Incorrect. You already have the category, Chris. Morgan, you think you know that one?
No.
Teak. Chris, category, please. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
I'm going to use my lifeline with arts and literature.
All right. Morgan, let's arts and literature for Chris.
Oh, my favorite category, too.
It's a good one.
This is in arts and literature. Morgan, this is for Chris.
Okay.
What diet did George Bernard Shaw stick to throughout his life? Particular diet.
Vegetarian?
Yes, it is. Oh. Vegetarian in arts and literature.
You, you're so welcome.
For Chris. Haney.
Well, I mean, let's be frank. Really, what are the alternatives?
Atkins.
What?
Atkins.
Why are you laughing? He was my doctor.
Oh, did you know that?
No.
While Dr. Atkins was still alive before he hit
Haney's doctor?
Before he hit it big, there was a small article.
Wow.
And Haney said, we have to get this doctor on. It was Dr. Atkins.
Okay.
And told Haney, before any cookbooks.
Oh, we got it on tape.
Yeah, what to eat.
Wow.
And then he became famous.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of diets out there.
I know that.
But you can't beat Atkins.
Nope.
What about keto?
Keto.
Yeah, but that's a direct ripoff
of Atkins.
Of course
it is.
There's the paleo. You know, I'm a girl. I have to know all about diets. Yep. But my diet's McDonald's.
Haney, geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure. You still have Morgan as
a
lifeline.
Do I still have geography?
Yes, you do still have geography.
Let's do that.
All right.
Argentina. Geography.
I am just not with it. Vegas took it out of me.
Yeah, I wish I was there. Took it out of Dave, too.
Yeah.
Well, Dave had to bust his ass while he was out there.
Dave told me about some relations he had with some women, and I did
it
not need
so
to know.
It is so completely untrue.
I did not need to know the story or the amount.
But was it a good story?
He just was like, there was seven of them.
I spent a lot of time on my knees.
What? And what did he say to you?
I spent a lot of time on my knees.
Woo! What did you pick, Haney?
Geography. Sorry.
Haney. In geography, which city on old Route 66 was Gene Pitney 24 hours from?
Tulsa.
You betcha, Tulsa. On the board with geography. All right, Chris. Entertainment, history, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's do science again.
Science. All right, Haney, you have the category already.
Do I?
Yeah.
Did I steal it?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I already asked that one. Let's see. I gotta find one. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Science and nature. For you, Chris. How many bits are in a byte? B-Y-T-E. How many bits are in a byte?
100.
Incorrect. Haney has. Do you know, Morgan, how many bits in a byte?
I would say 1,000.
No, 8.
8?
8. 8 bits.
That's a random number.
8 bits. It is.
Not metric.
No trick questions here. I got the real book. Haney, entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
Let's let Morgan have a crack at something.
Let's
what do you
do
want?
It.
What do you want? Arts and literature? Or do you want to do sports and leisure? History?
History.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. This is for Haney.
Okay.
In the history category, Morgan.
Got it.
Morgan, for Haney.
Okay.
What did Benjamin Franklin do on April 17th, 1790? What did Benjamin Franklin do on April 17th, 1790?
Did he discover electricity?
Good guess. Incorrect.
Oh. Sorry, Haney.
You can steal, Chris.
The Declaration of Independence?
Incorrect.
He died.
1770.
Haney, do you have
he
the...
He died.
He died. He died. Chris, you have control, entertainment, history, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's do history.
History for Chris. All right, Chris, history. Which U.S. president's disability resulted in the White House being made wheelchair accessible? Which president?
Theodore Roosevelt.
You are incorrect. Incorrect. Haney, you can steal.
FDR.
In history.
You almost gave it away.
I almost
Stanley.
Did, but I didn't. Haney, entertainment, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
Entertainment.
Entertainment for Mark Haney. Haney, in entertainment, who was the Beatles' bass guitarist?
Paul.
Yep. Full name, though, please. We need last name.
Mm-hmm.
Paul sure. McCartney.
Yeah, and that is correct. Chris, entertainment, history, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's try sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure for Chris. By the way, Chris, you're playing a good game.
Thank you.
Great job.
What about me? What about me? I'm doing okay.
That's a given.
You just got the easiest question for a rock station possible. That doesn't
what, Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney. That's almost cheating.
Who was the lead guitarist for the Beatles, Morgan?
I don't know.
There we go.
That was George.
No.
George Harrison.
Yes.
George Harrison.
It was easy.
May as well then.
Easy.
Happy Christmas.
whose turn is it? It's your.
It's Chris's turn.
Is it Chris's turn?
Yeah.
What category did you pick, Chris?
Sports.
Thank you, Morgan.
Someone's paying attention.
In sports and leisure, Chris, what travelers relied years ago on octants to find their way?
Sailors.
Yep, you are absolutely correct in sports and leisure. Put that there. Haney, two categories left for you. We have about 4 minutes to play. Haney, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
Arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Can't get enough of it.
let's see. Haney, who wrote Treasure Island?
Robert Louis Stevenson.
You are correct in arts and literature. Chris, entertainment, history, science, and nature.
Let's try entertainment.
Entertainment for Chris. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Hold on, I'm getting that one.
Yeah. May as well.
All right, here it is. In entertainment, Chris, what 1978 movie was hyped? You'll believe a man can fly? Question mark at the end of that. What 1978 movie was hyped? You'll believe a man can fly?
I have no idea.
No idea. Take a guess. You believe a man can fly?
Superman.
Yes! There you go. It was the 1978 Superman movie. I believe Marlon Brando in that movie. Both of you playing a good game. Haney, however, is at match point. What that means is I will ask a question in sports and leisure for Mark Haney. If he gets it right, game over. If he misses it, you have the category already, Chris, but I will give you control of the board. If you get your question right, you will also then be at match point. All right?
All right.
Haney, in sports and leisure for the game. Haney, what sport has the abbreviated BMX? What sport?
Motocross.
Yep, motocross. You win. However, good news for you, Chris. You did a great job. You got four right, more than double what you needed to qualify for the prize. However, you still lost, which means you have to tell my friend Haney something if you'd like to get the prize.
Mark Haney, you're definitely smarter than me.
Acceptable.
That's fine.
Absolutely. Chris, nice job playing.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold. Rob's going to set you up with either the Disturbed tickets or the Exit 111 qualifier, okay?
All right,
hold on, buddy. And Morgan, thank you for coming in on short notice.
Thanks
nice job, as usual.
And I did very well.
And
you did a great job. I did the best, though.
Yep, you did. We're going to take
Except
a break.
You missed mine.
Yeah, his.
Sorry.
You got Chris's, and that was a good one. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Well, hey there, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Want to remind you, it's the middle of the week right now. What do they call it? Hump Day. This Friday, as we always do, South Street Happy Hour. And it's no exception. Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road in the Goodlett Corner Shopping Center in Naples. 4 to 6 p.m. Matt Mangus going to be down there. Happy Hour drinking food specials. K-Rock prizes. Sign up to win tickets to see Godsmack at Hertz Arena on October the 2nd. That's this Friday and every Friday, 4 to 6, for happy hour at South Street. Okay?
Doing good work down
there.
They're doing
great work down there. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. It's our first look at traffic this afternoon. All right, let's see what we have. All right, a couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. Metro Parkway and Danley Drive. And then another one in Lehigh Acres. It's Sunshine Boulevard North and 8th Street West. And you are up to date. Are you cool with Dave picking up the bus?
What?
He's walking down the hallway. He's heading to the bus station.
He's fine.
Bus stop.
As far as I know, everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's got his backpack on.
He's a good boy.
Says there's a bench right at the corner.
He's a good boy, and he worked very hard last week.
For you, the station doesn't see that. Mark Haney's got the headlines for you, because news is coming up in less than an hour. He's a good boy.
He is a good boy. Yeah. Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
All right.
You know, Apple had a big hooty-hoo yesterday.
Yeah, I think the 11's coming out, isn't it?
Isn't it funny? Since Steve Jobs died, they don't come out with anything new. It's the same thing, only a new version.
Right.
Nothing new.
No. And when Jobs would come out, there'd be something revolutionary.
Yep. What if I told you that on this stick, You could fit an album's worth of music.
Ooh. Remember the whole audience was like, and then they start clapping as he's in his blue jeans and black shirt going across the stage.
You're just soaking it up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because something called a memory stick.
Yeah, so Apple had a big deal yesterday where they announced something called the iPhone and the iPad.
The field that we decided to do it in, the choice we made, is it holds 1,000 songs. All of the popular open formats of digital music, MP3, MP3 variable bitrate, WAV, and AIFF.
Ooh.
At the time, that was
amazing.
Revolutionary.
It was when somebody told me there's this memory stick and it can hold,
an album's worth of material.
I was like, you're crazy on that little thing. What are you?
This thing can't be what more than 7 or 8 inches.
It's crazy talk.
An album is much larger than that.
Did you see that where LPs have outsold CDs for the first time since like 1986?
Yeah, but how many?
I know, the numbers still aren't the same.
There's a whole generation that they don't get music like we did.
Yep.
They get crap.
It doesn't sound good.
No. One of the things that came out of Apple's big announcement is a new feature that they call Slofies.
What's that?
A slow motion selfie.
More details on that in less than an hour.
I'm not so sure about this one. You know, when you think of the Stan and Haney show, you think of one thing.
Quality.
Maybe, but top of mind, the first thing you'd think is digital. I say Stan and Haney, you go, oh yeah, they're on the digital.
Yeah.
Jeez. And, you know, we're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And KFC is pretty good at making chicken.
They are good at making chicken.
So, why is KFC making a video game now? We'll tell you.
See, it makes no sense in less than an hour.
If it was chicken related, I'd go, yeah, they probably know what they're doing.
Right on.
This kind of reminds me of your relationship with your dad.
What?
A man spends $37,000 of his son's inheritance to fight a $123 speeding ticket on principle.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
I tell you, I put myself through college.
Yeah, you had to.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, I want you to stifle yourself, okay? Don't screw me on this.
But I'm so sorry, man.
I am told that police in Galesburg, Illinois, are on the lookout for a meth head who looks exactly like Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Really?
Yes.
And I'll see it in less than an hour.
Yes. Hopefully. And finally, a married man died during sex with another woman while on a business trip, and a court has now ruled that qualifies as a workplace accident.
Wow!
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you.
He doesn't have the mugshot behind me, does he?
No, he does not. Nope.
I could swear it was going to happen.
Yep. Laughter. It's 4 o'clock fluffer time.
I guess that talk did some good
it
yesterday.
It did. He's a quick learner. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Traffic. High cost of living. smog, rampant homelessness. These are just some of the amenities available in Los Angeles.
Yep, some of the amenities.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
best things about living in Los Angeles.
Top best things about living in Los Angeles.
The smog acts as a natural Instagram filter. Pretty much anybody can get into Charlie Sheen's house parties now.
Yep.
Los Angeles has always been a city where dreams come true.
Oh, yeah.
Unless your dream is affording a home. There's a great spirit of community when you're joining other Dodgers fans and beating the hell out of an elderly woman wearing a Giants hat. It's great for whale watching, assuming Jack Nicholson is out and about. Stepping over the homeless prepares you for a career in track and field. You also get to hear all the wonderful things about New York City from all the people who moved away from there.
Laugh it up.
That's right. Dave's an L.A. kind of guy, ain't he?
Yep.
So he says, you should have seen him in Las Vegas.
He likes Lost. That persona. Yeah.
He knows the West Coast. Lost. He went looking for something Haney needed from the drugstore, and he went up and down walking the Las Vegas Strip 3 times before he found it.
Yep.
Just quit beating me in the head with your mouth, bro.
What's this? Stratosphere. If you are here, you have gone too far.
Yep.
Best things about living in L.A.
Yes.
When you're out in public, it's fun to play that old game, former 80s sitcom star or homeless drug addict. It has 2 teams for every professional sport.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of seating because nobody goes to them. Earthquakes are nature's laxative. And finally, the very top best thing about living in Los Angeles.
Yes, yes.
You're not required to declare a gender or a sexual preference until you're like 9.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Albert has left the building.
Left the building.
Email time. Ahoy. That's how you get a hold of us. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
By the way, when you're at stanandhaney.com, click on the Amazon icon there. And then it takes you to Amazon to do all your shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps support the Stan and Haney website. And it costs you nothing.
Yeah. So, and it works now.
Yep, and it works. So remember, Amazon shopping, go to stanandhaney.com first, click
Please.
It on, and then keep it as your like your favorite, so that when you click Amazon back on, it goes right back to that. And they
But
know
to
you.
Be safe, always do it from the website.
I'd prefer that. This is from our buddy Mark, who writes... When Haney finally gets fed up with covering for and supporting Dave the Waterman and kicks him to the curb, it appears that Dave can sue him now for half of his retirement. Did you know that it is called a qualified domestic relations order? Haney has actually enabled Dave to live in a certain lifestyle without any commitments to where he'd be unable to support himself or survive on his own. You did. You've done that. If you say enough, man, because Stan's been right the whole time.
That's how I will say it.
Yes.
Because Stan's been right the whole
then
time.
Then I guess he can go after you because you've given him a certain lifestyle. The Qualified Domestic Relations Order. Just a thought.
How would that work?
What?
A qualified domestic order. He doesn't live with me. Yeah, we're not romantic partners.
Oh, you don't have to be these days. It's a different world since Irma.
What?
By the way, just a thought I had when I saw that pic of Dave in his dress, blue jeans.
That's
at
his
the
finest,
wedding.
Yep.
By the way, also, yesterday's interview with Trump was excellent and so true to life. I was amazed at how real it seemed.
It was great. Why wasn't that the promo yesterday?
I don't know. Why wasn't that the promo yesterday?
I don't know who made the new promo yesterday, to be honest.
The end bit.
Oh, because it was so late to 5, I didn't know if I should include it at 5:40.
You could have.
Okay,
from now on. We got to get that and replay that.
It's a good best of. I chopped it up for a best of segment.
Okay.
But,
oh, good. Leave it that way.
Okay, and it's also posted in the podcast, so if people missed it and they want to download the podcast.
Okay, good. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, heard your story about how your wife, boy, does that sound strange, gave you an unsolicited foot job. My wife. I hate to burst your bubble, but here's how it should go. For a time, you will get those wonderful foot rubs. Then suddenly, she will ask for a reciprocal foot rub.
Me and my wife.
How do you know I don't?
You don't.
I haven't.
No.
Which you will do. But over time, you will have to ask for one sometimes. And she will say other times she will have to say no. Eventually, she will stop the foot rubs altogether.
Mm-hmm. No. I think she's different.
I think so. How do I know this, says The Guardian? Because that's how it went for me. Now, if I want a foot rub, I either have to pay someone or do it myself. That's a trick. Sorry.
Do we have foot massage establishments where you can just go in for a foot massage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to pay. But, yeah, I'm going for this weekend. It's included. I get a full rub down. You want to come with me? We can do a couples. But yes, they do. Guys, maybe I'm just impatient, but I want to see some kind of arrest. They have all this information on people like Comey and McCabe. Yeah, I know there are criminal complaints against a few of them. I also know that they want to have all the information, so there is
they
no
gotta
way
to drop the whole ton of bricks,
that those,
Guardian.
Scum can get away with the crime, so I'll be patient. And when it comes, I'll be doing a happy dance. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
You do have to be patient because this is a very deep investigation. They've already got the FISA stuff done by the IG, but what the Attorney General is looking for is how did this start?
Yeah.
And that's going to be a whole other kettle of worms.
Because he's waiting to see how did this start and how high did it go, because it might wind up to a room that's oval-shaped.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the FISA stuff that's getting ready to come out from the Inspector General, it's my understanding that there were 4 warrants.
Yep.
And that Comey signed off on them. along with other people, but that it was Comey that certified that the FISA applications that allowed them to spy on Carter Page, and by virtue of him, anybody in the campaign, all you need to know is the opening line. The FBI states before the court, as a statement of fact, Carter Page is an agent of the Russian government. He's never been charged with anything. And they told the court, not we suspect that he but may, is. But Carter Page is.
Yep. There's where it's at. By the way, the first,
and it goes from there.
First one who's going to get off, you watch, is going to be Flynn. They're gonna drop those charges on him.
Well, he's got the right lawyer now.
Yes, he does. We'll be back.
And what they did to him.
Yep, he'll be the first one to get off the hook.
The more that comes out for Michael Flynn, the better.
Yep. Stan and Haney.
We wrote the book on funny. But unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic. It'll be your latest info. Well, the info I got. And then I'm going to tell you about the biggest show happening next summer. It's the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day and Weezer and Fall Out Boy. It's the biggest announcement in a long time. And you'll have your chance to get tickets before you can even buy them. I'll give you the details on that in just a second. Let's get you updated first. We have a new sponsor for traffic. If I can just find it, it'll be great. New sponsor. That's not it. That's not it. Nope, that's not it. Nope. Ah, here it is. We'd like to welcome a new sponsor for traffic. Traffic is brought to you by Anger Management Rage Room, Cypress Lake Drive, Fort Myers. Go to amrageroom.com. Get all your frustration out. All right. A few things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. Cape Coral Bridge Road and Cape Coral Bridge westbound. In Estero, crash. Ben Hill Griffin Parkway and Estero Parkway. And in Lehigh Acres, a crash. Connecticut Road and Leland Heights Boulevard West. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes, maybe even less. The Green Day. Hella Mega Tour. Big news as K-Rock presents the Hella Mega Tour featuring Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy. It's going to be August 5th next year at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Tickets for this show go on sale Friday at noon. But guess what? You can win them here on K-Rock before you can buy them. Word has it, Rob's show will have a pair of tickets tonight. Big show. Ahoy.
Hey!
Hey, it's hey, everybody. Let's stop everything we're doing. It's Tony D'Amico from Cape Crape and Chowder. How are you, buddy?
I am outstanding. And I just wanted to congratulate the newlywed here.
Thank you very much, Tony. I would have liked to have had you come out to Vegas to be a part of it because we've known each other almost a lifetime, but I know you don't travel well.
Had I been invited, I would have been there.
You would have, hold it, you would have come to Las Vegas to be at my wedding if I had invited you. I didn't even have you on the list because I know you don't leave the Cape Coral area. As a matter of fact, you go from your home to the restaurant and spend most of the time in that gravel parking lot.
Well, that's true, but I've got a long history with Las Vegas, Nev.
You have a long history with Las Vegas, Nevada?
kid. I'm no spring chicken. I've been around the block.
Well, I know you ain't young. I was doing the math on this. You're ancient.
I'll have you know that that is where I spent my honeymoon with my late wife, Sheila.
You spent your honeymoon in Las Vegas with Sheila?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, that what was that, Tony? Old Vegas? Because your wife passed away about, I don't know, about 18 years ago. That had to be old Vegas. That was the good old days, the mob run Vegas.
Oh, yes, it was wonderful. I think we stayed at the Desert Inn.
Oh, yeah, not even around anymore.
What?
The Desert Inn's gone.
Oh, come on. That's one of the biggest places out there.
It's not there anymore, Tony. All those hotels, the Sands, not there anymore. I bet you saw Sinatra play at the Sands.
The Desert Inn, at that time, it was a skyscraper. It had to be at least 5 stories.
They got them bigger. Tony, the Desert Inn's gone. The Sands is gone. They brought back the dunes, but that's a renamed place.
At the Desert Inn, I remember they gave us comp tickets to their in-house show.
Who was that? Do you remember who you saw?
I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a group called the Four Fags. And I remember they had a big poster outside. Yeah. They all wore white straw hats and red jackets, almost like a candy cane. The rest of them was all white. And they had one of them played the banjo. They played the toe tap in his tune.
Really? What were they called? What were they called?
The Four Fags.
Now they don't have them out there.
And they was true showmen, because you look at their poster.
Yeah.
And they're all making these funny faces. And then on the poster, it had big in big letters, "Frolic!" exclamation point. "Get gay!" exclamation point. And I think it even, and then at the bottom it said, "Gallivanting fun for the whole family."
Well, back in those days, gay meant something else. That meant something else. You know, the Tropicana's still there, though, Tony.
Oh, yes, I love the Trop. But then we sat down and we had a complimentary drink served to us by a very busty woman.
Oh, that's the way it was in those days.
And I lit up a cigarette. They threw a lobster in front of me. Thing was still moving. And I kicked back, and I thought, is this what heaven looks like? And then the stage lights come on. You know, they got all the colors, red, green, and blue.
Yeah.
And then these guys come out wearing their dandy outfits.
Yeah.
And the banjo player starts up. And then they start doing four-part harmony. Oh, I remember like it was yesterday.
Had to be beautiful.
And they started going, "Well, it's those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer."
Okay. Yeah, I know this. I know it. Okay. But that's not the way Vegas is anymore. And had I known you wanted to come out, I would have been glad to have you out there. But that's okay.
And then they got such tremendous support.
Yeah, because it was big back then.
Yeah, they come out for an encore. You know what they did for the encore? The place went nuts.
What's that?
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang down your head, then cry.
We're not talking about the Fall of Two, okay? It's 2019, Tony. And you don't move around like you used to. And Sheila, I, as much as you hated her, she was your wife, and it's been 18 years. You never
she
had to...
Sucked.
At the end, you never got along.
She sucked the life out of me.
You never got along with her at the end. That's when you started dating teens.
You know what? We never got along at the beginning either.
All right.
Because, you know, just a couple of years ago, they start this, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's always been that way.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing new. And Sheila always held the fact that I got a whore against me.
You went out there on your honeymoon.
And she's screeching and
you got
and
a whore.
About it. Yeah, and she's screeching and yelling about it. How dare you get a whore on our honeymoon?
I could understand that.
And that whore was a high-spirited gal, I tell you.
Right, right.
Because you know what she did?
What's that?
She looked my wife in the eye.
Wait a second. You brought the whore so that your wife could even see her?
Well, where else am I going to go?
If you were at the Desert Inn, you could have gone downtown to, like, the Nugget and done something down there.
Where, in a bathroom? What am I, a savage?
No, yeah, you're not a savage, Tony. You're just going to show a whore to your new bride.
I thought she was asleep, okay?
So the whore looked your wife, Sheila, in the eye and said what?
And she slapped her bare ass and she said, kiss it, honey. And she was really a high-spirited gal because she said, you know what? Honey, I think this is too much man for you.
Is this why you called me? Is this why you called me to talk about how you honeymooned in Vegas in the 50s and how you got a whore right in front of your new bride, Sheila?
Well, I guess that's not entirely the reason.
It's great to reminisce, though, with you.
While you were in Las Vegas, I got a phone call. I got several phone calls, actually.
Yeah.
One of them was from Mike Mattis or Matt Mingus or something.
That's our program director, Matt Mangus.
And then I got another call from some little squirt named Marvin.
Yeah, he's in our digital department.
And they said, hey, Tony, I know this is last minute, but I know Stan is like a son to you.
Well, not anymore.
We wanted to throw a ticker tape parade for Stan when he comes to the airport.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, I didn't hear that. I just heard they were going to make some kind of announcement, but they didn't know what flight we were on.
Yeah,
put down the smoke, Tony. Put down the smoke.
You're not the voice of me. Now, I'm not complaining. Let's just say that they asked me to cater the affair. I went all the way down to the airport. I had to pay for parking, the whole deal.
What airport did you go to?
The big one in Fort Myers.
No, I landed in Tampa. You wouldn't have. You trekked food.
Yeah, well, that became apparent after a while. But I'll have you know that not that it's important, but I lost an awful lot of mayonnaise that day.
What did you haul to the airport?
A lot of your favorite mayonnaise-based salads. And they all went bad, but you know what? That's okay.
That's all good.
These things happen.
They do happen.
What really killed me, and thank you for asking, by the way, Timmy's out of the hospital now.
I didn't know he was in the hospital. What happened to Big Tim?
Timmy was so excited to be a part of your welcome home celebration that he blew up one too many balloons. And he suffered what doctors call an aneurysm because he blew up too many balloons, got all red-faced and something burst. Now he looks like Biden with the blood in his eyes. But that's okay.
What?
That's okay. I saved the balloons. They're a little bit on the flaccid side. But
well, don't save them. I'm sorry that you had to do that, but I didn't ask for that.
Because the doctor told Timmy not to blow up balloons for at least a month. So it's the best we can do, but we've got it all set now for the reception.
What reception? What reception?
Your reception?
What?
Well, Marvin and Mingus told me that everybody felt awful because nobody could go out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a hell of a thing to do, Stan. Didn't you think about how many people would like to be at your wedding? Why would you plan it out of town like that?
That was the purpose, to go out of town. I wasn't expecting to bring half of Southwest Florida with me.
Oh, so you did that on purpose?
Yes.
To snuff people.
Oh, I didn't stop it. What reception?
I was told that since you got married out there and nobody could go, and then the whole welcome home thing went to hell in a handbasket.
Right, and Big Tim had the aneurysm.
Well, you know, and the ambulance and all of that.
I'll get him a teddy bear.
Well, you can get him a teddy bear, but if you just grace him with your presence, that'd be more than enough. We got it set up for Friday night so that you don't have to get up the next day.
And, Friday night where?
For you, you can even have a call brand, okay?
Friday where?
We got the restaurant closed on Friday.
Your place?
And what we're going to do is I've been told that we're going to reenact the whole ceremony.
No,
you'll put on a dress. You'll put on your tux.
No, that ain't happening.
And then we're going to have everybody. I'm going to have a brass band out there. We'll be serving tuna fish and whatnot.
Can't make it.
With all the fixings.
Fixings. What does that mean?
You get bread with your tuna.
Can't make it. I ain't coming to it.
So what we did is we're trying to, you know...
You're going to have an empty restaurant.
Your whole wedding is kind of giving the whole geographic area lemons. So on Friday, we're trying to make it lemonade so that all the people that wish they could have been at the ceremony,
right,
they can be at this one.
At the recreated.
Everybody... Yeah, we'll make everybody whole here. Chicken Man, he's already said he's on his way back from the desert, and he'll be here with his mobile home. He'll be DJing the whole thing.
And who's going to preside over the ceremony? Who you got to read the vows and all that?
That's not my department. I think Mike Mattis is in charge of that, or is it Matt Mingus or Melvin?
Can't make it. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons, 96 K-Rock.
Hey gang, Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mark Haney and the news coming up in mere seconds. We'll also get you updated on traffic. Rob Show will be in at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. And as a matter of fact, because we have printing difficulties here at Broadcast House.
You're going to make up a traffic report.
No, Rob's going to do it because I don't have it in front of me. He's got it in front of him. So let's get you updated. I do traffic during the week. Dave screws up traffic on Fridays. Let's see how Rob does. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Here's Rob.
Four things on the board.
All right.
First up in Fort Myers, we have a crash Cape Coral Bridge Road and Cape Coral Bridge westbound. In Estero, we have a crash Ben Hill Griffin Parkway and Estero Parkway. In North Fort Myers, we have a crash on Hancock Bridge Parkway and Orange Grove Boulevard. And finally, in Lehigh Acres, another crash, Connecticut Road and Leland Heights Boulevard West.
All right. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Eric Severide in Washington, Fred Graham in Washington, Bruce Dunning in Saigon, Peter Collins in Saigon, Bob Schieffer in San Diego, and Richard Wagner in San Francisco.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, September 11th.
Double MXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know.
Okay.
Stan, when I say Nintendo, what do you think of?
Gaming system, you know, personally, Tetris, but Nintendo is a gaming system. Thank you.
Who could forget the Nintendo 64 and GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Did you play GoldenEye?
You gave me the game to play on my console because GoldenEye had just come out.
One of the greatest games of
all
time.
And it was a great game for what it was.
Could you play that?
I could play that, but there would always be a spot there where you'd get killed and have to go. There you go. There it is.
Turn that up.
That's the gold. Okay, hold on. Wait a second. Let me get the right button. All right.
One of the greatest video games of all time.
Based on a great James Bond movie. Yeah. Yeah.
God, I want a controller right now.
I played that game
one of the
so
best
much.
Ever.
I want that game now, and I want a controller that can run it. Because I would play that.
Yeah, it had a great soundtrack.
Yep.
It had it all.
There he is. You know, it looks like Pierce Brosnan, but it's not.
Well, the bad guy, Sean Bean, looks just like him.
Look at this. Look, there it is.
Oh, the dam. Yep.
Oh, God.
Takes you right back, doesn't it?
It does. To a different time in our lives.
Now, see, you got to snipe that guy up there. Yeah.
I remember.
Yep. There you go. Did he already get the guy in the tower?
No, I didn't see him get that. Is it farther down?
No, he just ignored him. I always got him first.
Well, he would take shots at you.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play the game right now.
Let's. Get him.
Okay.
So, when you think Nintendo, think things like that.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you, the people driving around, just hearing that music and the sound effects made them want
to pick
up a controller.
Brings it back to them, yeah.
Nintendo has been around a while. Nintendo got into making toys only in the 1960s. Prior to that...
Hold it, in the 1960s you can get a Nintendo toy?
Yes, they made physical toys.
Didn't know that.
But before they ever even did that, Nintendo ran a taxi business, a chain of hotels that rented rooms by the hour, a vacuum cleaner company, and an instant rice company. See, they just had to hang around long enough for video games to be invented.
Vacuum cleaner. Annie and I were talking about back in the day, if a newlywed and a bride went into their home, because at that time the husband bought the home already because you could get it as a couple and pay $15,000 for a new split-level home.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing the husband would do for the wife is get her a new Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Kirby, and I remember my mom had one.
My mom did, too.
And they looked like an old-fashioned vacuum cleaner, but they were the best on the market.
It was top of the line stuff.
I went and we were looking at it. I think I want to say, because I was a young kid but I want to say that it was like $400 or $500 back then.
Oh, it was an investment
to get a Kirby. And
now, Stan,
my wife was looking. They're in the thousands of dollars now to get a Kirby vacuum, and they still look exactly the same.
Sure, Stan. Your wife could pay less for a vacuum cleaner. But do you want to be dealing with this day after day?
year after year, always a new vacuum cleaner? Or would you rather enjoy the quality of a Kirby for a lifetime?
And the salesman would come to the house and disassemble it like a military rifle.
Yep, and dump an ashtray on the floor.
Yep, and vacuum it right up and show you how you could shampoo the carpets and the hose attachments.
It's thousands
and,
now?
Yeah, in the thousands. Because even back then, and I'm talking the late 60s, early 70s,
yeah,
they were $500 a throw, which back then, outrageous for a vacuum cleaner. But she was looking through the catalog and stuff, and said, oh, well, there's the Kirby's. They're in the thousands.
Rob, see how much a Kirby vacuum cleaner is.
The deluxe one with all the accoutrements for the new lady of the house.
Here's an odd one for you. Canned food was invented. What?
Yep. For a Kirby.
And that's open
2000.
Box.
And that's an open box.
Open box.
That's $2,000.
Yeah. I said thousands.
Good Lord.
Last the little lady a lifetime.
And you're right, it still looks the same.
Still looks the same, like something from the 1940s.
But it works.
It's still, today, the best in the business. Oh, what'd you buy your wife? I bought her a vacuum cleaner. You did what? A Kirby.
Oh, say no more.
This guy, and it's true, I bet you it's true. Kirby's now have back massage attachments.
What the?
I'll bet you. You know, I don't know if he's joking, but I'll bet you it's true.
They had an attachment for everything.
Everything.
All right, get this. Canned food was invented in 1810, but it took until 1858 for someone to invent the can opener.
We've talked about that before. You could, the can opener, nobody had the idea of a can opener. Canning food, great. How you get it open?
Well, in those 48 years between the invention of canned food and the can opener, people used a hammer and chisel to get the can open by any means possible.
Yep. Is this somebody that knows something about a Kirby?
Yeah, some information on old Kirbys.
What are they? What do you turn them into, a go kart or something?
No, they're collector's items now.
What do you know about a Kirby, sir?
Oh, I was just gonna. You already mentioned it. Add that it came with all kinds of attachments, like a saw.
A saw?
I think it had a. Yeah, yeah. You could cut wood.
I don't know if that really happened or you just happen to have an exceptional Kirby salesman.
No joke. Not sure if they still do, but my mom sold Kirbys for a few years and they had massage attachments.
Jeez.
They did it all. I mean, that. But if you had the Kirby salesman come to your house.
He didn't leave.
He didn't leave. He wanted to make that sale. But they. The vacuum disassembled and had so many moving parts.
Like you
parts
said, like
to
he's
it.
Field stripping a rifle
yeah,
or something.
It was like, how in the world? There's the massager. The Kirby massager. Right there in your own living room.
Kirby massager, Kirby belt sander, and here's the backhoe attachment.
What the hell? There's the Kirby drill.
Amazing machines.
Yeah.
Well, Apple had a big howdy-do yesterday.
Yeah, this is what I hear.
Where they announced a couple of new inventions. One of them is called the iPhone, and the other one is called the iPad.
Ooh.
All brand new.
Yeah, just upgraded and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the phones are ringing about the Kirbys. No more calls about Kirbys.
Uh, Apple announced its new line of iPhones yesterday, and a new feature on the iPhone that they call slow fees.
Oh, get it. What?
Those are selfie videos in slow motion. That's going to be your next big thing. However, although social media likes the actual product of slow fees, social media does not like the word slow fee.
Sounds kind of messed up.
Just after Apple announced them, a tech writer named Casey Newton absolutely destroyed the word slow fee, tweeting, quote, upgrading to iPhone 11 versus keeping your old phone is a real slow fee's choice. Kirby.
You tell them I'm not taking any more calls about Kirby's.
Kirby.
This isn't a call pertaining to Kirby, but...
What? We're in the middle of a
newscast.
In the middle of a news... What do they want?
You would like to know what happened to Bok Choy.
Oh, come on.
Let him... Don't tell... Look, that's a sad subject.
Okay.
Thank you.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
With over 130 years of mining diamonds, De Beers Mining Group is the most respected and well-known name within the diamond industry today. When De Beers decided to release their rarest and most valuable diamonds to the world, they chose only 300 jewelers in the U.S. And the only jeweler they respected and trusted in Southwest Florida to represent these rare diamonds was Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. When America's top bridal designers, Tacori, Verragio, Simon G., and Peter Storm, made the decision to showcase their stunning and award-winning designs in Southwest Florida, there was only one jeweler they sought to collaborate with. Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. The Diamond District has the largest selection of GIA and Forever Mark loose certified diamonds and engagement rings from the top bridal ring designers in the U.S. With this selection and diamond prices at or below the internet, you won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
The Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Somebody wants to know what kind of tires are on my wife's car. Come on. Kapali glass.
The only tire to have when a woman's at the wheel.
That's right. Come on, don't even ask those questions. Dun-da, dun-da, dun-da.
A 71-year-old gent in England named Richard Keedwell was caught going 35 in a 30-mile-per-hour zone in 2016. But Richard was adamant he wasn't speeding and decided to fight the ticket.
Oh, yeah, he should have. 30, 35, come on.
Now, the fine was about $123. But Richard is not paying that on principle because he swears he wasn't speeding.
All right.
So he'd be damned if the government was going to get his $123. So he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
Over the last 3 years, he spent $37,000 fighting the ticket. That's about $26,000 on lawyers, the rest on court fees.
Of course.
He claims the speed camera that caught him must have been triggered by a different car in the lane next to him, driven by a one-armed man. He lost his initial case and then lost an appeal last month. The worst part of it is that 71-year-old Richard really didn't have $37,000 to blow. It seems that money represented a very large chunk of his son's inheritance.
Oh, jeez.
Richard says he's just sick over it.
I bet he is.
He never expected it to drag on so long or cost so much. Richard, now a broken man, says, quote, I regret the amount of money. I very simply wanted justice.
Yeah. There goes the kids' fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right down the drain. Know how that feels.
Police in Galesburg, Illinois, are on the lookout for a 50-year-old gentleman named Todd Barrick. Now, normally, you might see a regular mugshot or a police sketch when they're looking for someone.
Yeah.
Police say in this case, although they provide a mugshot, they don't really need it. They say 50-year-old Todd Barrick looks remarkably like Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Macy. Oh.
And he's wanted for meth possession.
Look at this.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. Pretty darn close. Pretty darn close. Is it blue?
He is still at large.
Look at him. He knows he looks like Walter White.
And he embraces
it. He embraces it. He shaved his head. He grew the goatee. He wears the same glasses. He embraces the fact he looks like him.
Hopefully, police have searched a small fast food chicken chain in New Mexico and a meth lab hidden underneath an industrial laundromat, as well as a secluded cabin in New Hampshire.
Yep. Jeez, come on. Who's he kidding?
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final
I
story,
am the one who knocks.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill? Just when you think the world, you got the world figured out, they throw you a curveball.
Every time.
There's a man identified only as Xavier, who was an engineer for a railroad company in Paris. And back in February of 2013, he was on a business trip in France. He was married, but he was on a business trip.
Right.
When he met a local woman, and they headed up to his hotel room to do things to each other. Sadly, the man suffered a severe heart attack during sexual congress. And died. Seems simple enough, right? Unfortunate things happen.
Yeah.
But this has been working its way through the courts ever since. Why is it in the courts?
Why?
The argument is over whether his death should count as a quote-unquote workplace accident. Very critical for insurance purposes.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't.
This has been a six-year debate in the courts. And an appeals court just issued the final ruling in the case.
And the decision is?
Yes, it counts as a workplace accident.
Insurance pays out!
Which means the dead man's wife will receive a payout of up to 80% of his salary every year until he would have hit retirement age, and then his pension after that. Nice consolation prize for the missus.
Yeah.
workplace accident.
Yeah, of course.
It could happen to anybody.
Did you know that when we were out in Las Vegas, they had a convention going on out there? It was at the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
And they were all going around with their big name tags and, hello, I'm Kevin Franks. Hi, I'm Steve Johnson. And they're all in their business suits. And I kept seeing them, and I'm like, what convention is going on out here? My wife went off the bat, oh, you didn't know what was going on? Didn't you see the signs around here? It was the International Storage Unit Convention. Where storage units from all over the country got together and talked biz.
Oh, yeah. Not a surprise, you know, when you and I complained that the slots didn't pay like they used to.
Yeah.
We were informed, oh, yeah, they don't care about gambling anymore.
Yeah.
We're a convention town now.
But it is. That's what it is.
We saw that Raiders stadium going up. Wait till they have the Super Bowl there. You saw it, didn't you?
I saw it. The Uber driver said they don't know how they're going to handle that.
That's going to be insane.
Mayhem.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, September 11th.
Double M XIX.
I am Southwest Florida's most regular.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
That's going to be mayhem like they've never seen.
They do not know. Had a Uber driver taking me to the airport, and he's grew up in Vegas, raised his family. He said they're building that stadium. He said we have no idea. We can't handle the traffic that's here now, and that stadium is going up real close. What to MGM down in that area?
Mm-hmm.
He said have no idea.
Well, it looked like it was like right behind Mandalay.
Yeah, right across the street. Yeah. No idea how they're going to handle the traffic. He said, it's bad now. Nobody's thinking about when this stadium's open and you've got big games going on, how they're
going to
handle it.
I'm just thinking that first Super Bowl, that town is just going to be awash in cash.
Yep. Nuts. Totally nuts. He does. The guy said also, because I was talking to him, he said he's not too sure on how the Raiders are going to be accepted there because of so many people being out of town. He said there's going to be the stadium there, and no matter who they're playing, kind of like Joe Robbie.
Yeah,
they're
like Miami.
They're going to be rooting for the other team. And I said to him, I said, well, they...
Well, we saw the Raiders play the Dolphins, and there are plenty of Raiders fans there.
I said to him, I said, but yet they still love their Golden Knight hockey team. He goes, they love them. I'll pack that place, and they're all Knight fans.
Mm-hmm.
He says they're not expecting that for football, especially the Raiders. He said the reason the Knights were created, it's an original team, it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders are a transient team that are being put out there for the tourists coming in.
Yeah, but it's sitting there in Vegas, a place people want to go, easy access to California. They've been all over the state.
Yeah. Raiders are going to play all those teams, eight games at home, nine games at home, and the majority of the crowd will be not rooting for the Raiders because they'll be fans from all. If you know that the the Dolphins, that the Dolphins are going to be in Las Vegas playing the Raiders, people are going to plan their vacations around going out to Vegas.
It's actually very simple, and you make your point, but here's the thing with Miami.
Miami might have been a bad example. New England.
Well, you go to a Dolphins game, and a lot of times you see the other team represented extremely well. You don't see that when they're winning.
That's
winning is everything.
And that's many decades ago. And you're right.
And if the Raiders come in there and they're winning, plenty of room on the bandwagon.
We'll be back.
If they're losing, then you're right. It's let's go see our favorite team.
Chuck the Freak. And now back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock. Let's get a final look at traffic. All right, just one thing on the board, and it's in Lehigh Acres. It is a crash. 5600 block of Lee Boulevard, and you are up to date.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I saw a homeless guy out front, and he was talking to me. I'm not even making fun of homeless people. They're great. They're not great. They're okay, but they're all right. But I was walking from the parking lot. He's walking with me. David Spade. You know they get a little too tight with you? Like, you kind of want to go scoot, but it's too rude. He's like, David Spade, walking along. Look at this guy. From TV, David Spade, you know, three blocks. Then he finally goes, David Spade, give me some money. And I go, you know when it turns into a casual robbery? You're not really allowed to say no. I go, any cops? Oh, okay, well, there's 10 bucks. That's pretty good. I know you got more than that. I go, where are the police? People are just walking by. I'm like, and he goes, your show's on too many reruns, man. I go, you have a TV in that box? You just said you live in a box. You have a TV. He goes, get on Game of Thrones, man. I go, you have HBO in there? I only have HBO upstairs.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Hey!
Hey, it's hey, everybody. Let's stop everything we're doing. It's Tony D'Amico from Cape Crape and Chowder. How are you, buddy?
I am outstanding. And I just want to congratulate the newlywed you.
Thank you very much, Tony. I would have liked to have had you come out to Vegas to be a part of it because we've known each other almost a lifetime, but I know you don't travel well.
I've got a long history with Las Vegas, Nev.
You have a long history with Las Vegas, Nevada?
Stan, I'm no spring chicken. I've been around the block.
Well, I know you ain't young. I was doing the math on this. You're ancient.
I'll have you know that that is where I spent my honeymoon with my late wife, Sheila.
That had to be old Vegas. That was the good old days. The mob run Vegas.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. I think we stayed at the Desert Inn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not even around anymore.
What?
The Desert Inn's gone.
Oh, come on. That's one of the biggest places out there.
It's not there anymore, Tony. All those hotels, the Sands, not there anymore. I bet you saw Sinatra play at the Sands.
The Desert Inn, at that time, it was a skyscraper. It had to be at least five stories.
They got them bigger. Tony, the Desert Inn's gone. The Sands is gone. They brought back the dunes, but that's a renamed place.
As the Desert Inn, I remember they gave us comp tickets to their in-house show.
Who was that? Do you remember who you saw?
It was a group called the Four Fags, and I remember they had a big poster outside. Yeah. They all wore white straw hats and red jackets, almost like a candy cane. The rest of them was all white, and they had one of them played the banjo.
Uh-huh.
They played the toe-tapping his tunes.
Really? What were they called? What were they called?
The Four Fags.
Now they don't have them out there.
And they was true showmen because you look at their poster.
Yeah.
And they're all making these funny faces.
Uh-huh.
And then on the poster it had big in big letters, frolic exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
Get gay exclamation point. And I think it even, and then at the bottom it said, gallivanting fun for the whole family.
Well, back in those days, gay meant something else. They meant something else.
Then the stage lights come on, you know, they got all the colors, red, green, and blue.
Yeah.
And then these guys come out wearing their dandy outfits.
Yeah.
And the banjo player starts up. And then they start doing four-part harmony.
Oh,
I remember like it was yesterday.
Had to be beautiful.
And they started going, well, it's those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
Okay. Yeah, I know this. I know it. Okay. But that's not the way Vegas is anymore. And had I known you wanted to come out, I would have been glad to have you out there. But that's okay.
And then they got such tremendous support.
Yeah, because it was big back then.
Yeah, they come out for an encore. You know what they did for the encore? The place went nuts.
What's that?
Hang down your head,
Tom Dooley. Yeah. Okay.
Hang down your head, then cry.
We're not talking about the fall of two, okay? It's 2019, Tony. And, right. And you don't move around like you used to. And Sheila, I, as much as you hated her, she was your wife, and it's been 18 years. You never had to... At the end,
she
you never got
the life
along.
Out of me, Stan.
Yep.
She sucked the life out
you
of me.
You never got along with her at the end. That's when you started dating teens.
You know what? We never got along at the beginning either.
All right.
Because, you know, just a couple of years ago, they start this, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's always been that way.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing new. And Sheila always held the fact that I got a whore against me.
You went out there on your honeymoon,
and she's screeching
and you got a whore
about it. Yeah, and she's screeching and yelling about it. How dare you get a whore on a honeymoon?
Well, I could understand that.
And that whore was a high-spirited gal, I tell you.
Right.
Because you know what she did?
What's that?
She looked my wife in the eye.
Wait a second. You brought the whore so that your wife could even see her?
Well, where else am I going to go?
If you were at the Desert Inn, you could have gone downtown to, like, the Nugget and done something down there.
Where, in a bathroom? What am I, a savage?
No, yeah. You're not a savage, Tony. So you're just going to show a whore to your new bride.
I thought she was asleep, okay?
So the whore looked your wife, Sheila, in the eye and said what?
And she slapped her bare ass and she said, kiss it, honey. And she was really a high-spirited gal because she said, you know what? Honey, I think this is too much man for you.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.